Welcome to this Touch podcast activity, which has been recorded for Touch Respiratory. This podcast aims to bring you expert perspectives from a multidisciplinary team on strategies for the management of severe pediatric asthma. Four clinical specialists and the parent of a child with severe asthma share their perspectives on the importance of the multidisciplinary team for the diagnosis and management of severe pediatric asthma, with a focus on supporting patients and their families in the clinical setting and in daily life. This activity is funded by an independent medical education grant from Sanofi and Regeneron Pharmaceuticals. This activity is jointly provided by USF Health and Touch IME. In this podcast, a paediatric immunologist is joined by a paediatric pulmonologist and the parent of a child with severe asthma to discuss the use of biologics in the treatment of severe paediatric asthma and the practical considerations to support children and their families when initiating treatment.
Hello, my name is Dr. Wanda Pipitanical, and I'm the director of the Division of Immunology Clinical Research Center at Boston Children's Hospital, and I'm a professor of pediatrics at Harvard Medical School in Boston. I'm delighted to be joined today by Dr. Atul Gupta, who is a pediatric pulmonologist at King's College Hospital in the UK, and Ms. Monique Cooper, who is the parent of a child with severe asthma from Miami, Florida. In this section, we will discuss the use of biologics in children with severe type 2 asthma. So I think we'll begin by maybe starting the discussion with Dr. Gupta and talking a little bit about some discussion on assessing disease burden in patients and families. And when do you start thinking about initiating biologics, maybe a bit on some of the available biologics and your approach to selecting the best one for your patients?
Thank you, Dr. Venter. In our severe asthma clinics, we follow a shared decision-making and is a multidisciplinary team who evaluates the children. And besides the diagnosis, we also look at the impact of severe asthma on the child and the family by looking at the quality of life questionnaires, but also assessing how much of oral steroids children has had in the past. And as we know, oral steroids are wonderful in treating acute asthma attacks, and we have been using it for more than 7 decades. But as few as 1 to 3 courses of oral steroids prescriptions every year increases the risk of developing corticosteroid-related complications. And the short courses of high dose of inhaled corticosteroids can even cause behavioral changes and anxiety and other side effects. And the long term effect of corticosteroids are on growth impairment, looking at cataract, pubertal disorders, obesity, reduced bone density. So focusing on the disease burden, both in terms of amount of corticosteroids, but how is it affecting day-to-day in the life? So how much school they are missing? Are they able to exercise or not? The weight gain they may be having, and that influencing the poor exercise ability for them to do it. Looking at comorbidities like sleep apnea, and then taking into the account of whether the patient is suitable for a biological treatment or not. And once we think the patient is suitable for a biological treatment, we discuss with the family as a shared decision-making in terms of what the biomarkers are available, what are the options available for that child and the family, and what are the practical issues involved, that is the frequency of biological agents, how many injections is it? Is it a single injection, or will that be a 4 injections for that patient? Is it 2 weekly, 4 nightly? Some of the biologics, we are able to give it at home, and some needs to be administered in the hospital, and the side effects profile of it, and then make a decision after the shared decision making, what would be the best biologic for that family.
Yeah, no, that's really great, a tool and kind of an overview. And yeah, I think one thing that we have really learned over the last few years is so much about the different biomarkers and disease endotypes when it comes to asthma. And we have really exploded in the area of immune-based therapies and biologics in the last few years. We used to just have one that targeted IgE, which is central to allergic processes, and that's been around for 15, 20 years. But now we have several biologics that target IL-5 directly, which is a cytokine that works on eosinophils. And one of them also works on the receptor. And so that works on the eosinophilic disease. And then there's another biologic that works on the IL-4 receptor that really blocks IL-4 and IL-13 as well. And so that's 5 really targeting type 2. And then there's a new one that really blocks or works on TSLP, which is a marker that really works on both type 2 and type 1 inflammation. And so I think, like you mentioned, just really kind of assessing how the disease really burdens the patient and the family, and maybe thinking about whether biologics would be the next step. And like you mentioned, Atul, other comorbidities, because some of these biologics are also approved for even other conditions because they work on type 2 inflammation and there's other disease processes. So Monique, what do you think about this? I mean, this is a lot of maybe big words and mumbo jumbo about biomarkers and morbidities, but you as a patient or parent of a patient, what is your understanding of biologics and what are some of the questions you have if a doctor starts to discuss with you about this as a next step?
As a parent, I just want to, some of the questions that I will have would be anything that, you know, can affect my son's day-to-day living. Is it something as far as side effects? What are the side effects? Are those side effects going to affect him? Should I take this knowing he may have this certain side effect? Like Dr. Gupta said earlier about steroids, that is something that my son was consistently on from the time of him being diagnosed with asthma. The actual steroid that he was using was the one, like I'm gonna say the end game of him becoming better in his breathing. And the biologics of, you know, what you all say, basically I ask a lot of questions as a parent. What is this? What is it going to do? How is it going to affect my son? When do we use it? What are we going to do with it? All of the above, because when they're young, from the age, that certain age, like toddlers, the parents are the ones that administer the things that they have, you know, give them anything that they need, because they're not old enough or responsible enough to, you know, take on and be able to even tell you what is wrong with them. Because as parents, we still have to watch how they breathe in.
These are all really great points. And it's always great to hear parents' perspective on a lot of these questions. Atul, how would you answer maybe some of her questions and concerns? We could probably talk all day, but I'm hearing stuff about like how is this going to help, right, your son? Maybe some of the logistics. Do I get it in the hospital? Do I do it at home? How do I do it? And I'm hearing also a little bit about safety and how will they, you know, affect quality of life. So Atul, what do you think would be your approach in helping answer Monique's questions and concerns?
So in terms of selection of the biologics, we have a shared decision making where we take into account how old they are, what the phenotype, endotype is, what the weight of the child is, how it can be given, what's the route of administration, how does the drug work, so what is the mechanism of action, the safety profile, how long the biologic has been around for, and what sort of studies has been done to convince us as a clinician and for us to convince the child and the family. What is the safety profile, the frequency, how frequent it is, what is the biomarkers, exhaled nitric oxide, IgE, atopic status, but also, as you said, Venta, looking at the comorbidities, airway obstruction, and looking at when did the symptoms started, how frequently the attacks are happening, and also in some part of the world, is the cost of the medication involved, and looking at the IgE and the degree of eosinophilia to help to make that decision in giving the biologic, and also not forgetting the research route, because currently there are a lot of newer biologic. If somebody doesn't fit into this profile, then they could be potential route to enter via a research route.
Yeah, no, those are all great points. Now, does this intrigue you a bit, Monique? Say your child has been getting a lot of steroids and has been in the hospital with really bad asthma. And would you consider going down the path that they are injections, biologics? I don't know how your son would feel about that, but we have learned so much. They act directly on many of the things that affect a lot of the quality of life of your child. And some of them are approved for other indications. You're mentioning some of the other allergic conditions that you could kind of get with the same treatment. What do you think about that, Monique?
I think it's awesome because he actually does get an injection every 2 weeks. The one where he will sit and wait for the doctor. Yes, he gets an injection, and it took us quite a while. But from the, like I said, starting really at 4 years old when he started getting tested or whatnot. The age of 10 is when he started those injections, and he's now currently 15, and he continues it, and it works. He has not had a severe ICU incident since the age of 10.
So that's just a wonderful story to hear about a treatment that works. And I think that it depends again on the patient and the family, but you are at that point, right? In your child's life and disease that I want to take the next step. And it's every 2 weeks. It's a commitment, but it seems like it has made an impact on your child's life, and your child is still using. So that's really powerful. I really appreciate you sharing that. You can find more about the management of pediatric severe asthma in some of the other short videos in this activity. Thanks.
Thank you for listening to this Touch podcast. You can access more content on this topic on Touch Respiratory at www.touchrespiratory.com. You can also view a second activity in this series on severe pediatric asthma, a Touch in Conversation on Touch Respiratory.